no malchus, and not even a korban. Okay, which is very strange because we never find such prohibitions in the Torah, right? Prohibitions which are lavin, where you don't give me. There's lavshim bo mice, of course, or where there's no activity involved. But here's a lav. Where's an activity involved? You know, you're having relations with the woman. What? Yeah, you'd have to. I guess you could say it's rabbanim, but it's out. I guess that would make it easier. I think I actually have it underlined. No, you're right. So I guess you do have to say it's rabbanim taka. Problem is that my time. All right, fine. Then Aki's right. Takes over the problem. I just forgot. Pnei Moshe says that. So Rabbi B'shar called Nashim Shiri Potter, and Rabbi also concedes that all other anusim are also exempt, meaning, let's say your brother raped somebody, right? So Eishes Achiv is also your brother's wife is also to you, but if your brother raped somebody, you can marry that person your brother raped, okay? And so on and so forth, right? Your son raped somebody, you can marry that person your son raped, okay? Moira Abidoshim Kitcha. And Rabbi Yehuda also concedes that if you did marry your father's rape victim, Tafsaba Kiddushin, the Kiddushin does take effect. Rabbi Chagai, Bokum, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chagai.
That language is contrary to the notion that it's a smachta.
No, and then you know what? It's not a smachta, because look at the next line. It's definitely not a smachta. Rabbi Chagai, Bokum, Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Chagai, Aspar, Rabbi Yosef. Mao Shea Vlad Mamzer, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, marriage takes effect. Yeah, but what about if the kid, if you you marry your father's rape victim and then you have a kid, is the kid a mom's there or not? So Mark gives a fascinating answer. Really, it's fascinating. Amalei, so he said, I really should look at the bus. Can I have the Eretz Chumash there, please? So the pasuk in Dvarim Chav Gimel, where it describes. It says, a man shall not take his father's wife and shall not uncover his father's skirt. Okay? Because it's knaf is. That's what we're talking about over here. Loy kachich says aviv, les knaf aviv. Then it says, loy vob tzuda ka krushav chabikal Hashem. He that is crushed or maimed in his privy parts shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Then it says, loy vob mamzer bikal Hashem gamdor siri loy vob lohem bikal Hashem. Then it mentions the prohibition of mamzer. So first you have the your father's wife and your father's rape victim. Then you have a tzuadaka, right, a problem with the genitals. And then you got a mamzer. Okay, so he says here, Amalei says, Le'evob tzuadaka v'kusrapcha b'kal Hashem hifsiko inyon. It's an amazing thing. He says there's an interruption in the middle. He says, there's the loyavop tzuadaka, the genitally challenged individual, that pasuk, which does not create mamzerus. Let's say theoretically a person who has the defective genitals did create children, right? Did procreate children. So those children are not mamzerim. Yeah. So that is obviously disrupts, according to the Gemara, the loyavop knafavim from the loyavop mamzer b'kal Hashem. It's amazing. So to Yerushalmi, I don't sure it's not in the Bible anywhere. So this is
what Ken says, the loyal Bokal Hashem really the moms of Pussy is going relates back to Kanaf Avim.
It doesn't. Well, that's exactly what we say. It's not a mom's there.
I'm saying it's not, but why is it, in other words, it would have been were it not for the Krushivka Pussy in the middle.
That's right.
But the pasuk of mamzer is talking about a separate
issue. Even though it's right. Although that, yeah, that would have been, yeah. Of course, this whole sukkah is very, very original. Okay, so biyafsikin in lein and eshesap. So Gemara says, wait a second, you can't say this because that's the case. If you have relations with your father's wife, you shouldn't create mamzerus because that pasuk, the first pasuk here, says leikach iches eshesaviv leigel eknaf aviv. It's about also not just marrying your father's rape victim, but marrying your father's full-blown wife. So if you're going to say that the genitally challenged individual in the middle interrupts the flow and separates these guys from Zerim, Mamzerus, so then if you marry a father's wife, it shouldn't be a Mamzer, which obviously is untenable. If a married father's wife definitely creates Mamzerus. So it says, Eishasav, that's back in Vayikra. That wasn't important to bring down Dvorim. It's not really a sort of Pesukim Dvorim of any consequence. Back in Vayikra, Eishasav, the father's wife, is a clue with all the other arayas. And of course, you have relations with her, your kids are Mamzerim, right? Biyotzimi Klala, so why was it brought down here? Lulamid al kol arayas lamamzer. It comes to teach us that all arayas have an issue of mamzerus, right? In other words, it's brought down here in this area here, in order to tell us that all arayas have a shaychus to mamzerus. All arayas cause mamzerus. So the Gemara says, well, if that's why it's brought down here, and in order to link it to mamzerus, so then the teitze and usav tlami konos onsim lesor. So then, let's say, same thing about the loyigalek knaf over here, that it's also going to tell us that all cases of all rape victims are all forbidden. Now, it's not clear to me exactly how we're working with this. Somehow what I want to say is that Eishasav was brought down here in Dvarim to tell us, you know, remember, Moshe may say, you know, I'm talking to you about Mamzerus now, remember that Eishasav and all the other arayas create Mamzerus. But then, it doesn't make any sense really what's going on here, because, you know, I want to modify what I'm saying. No, but I can't modify what I'm saying, because that's really what the Gemara says.
That's fucking...
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly, I'm not sure what's going on here. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu here is going short form over Arias, right? In Dvarim. So he's saying, Lo yikach yishasei shaviv, lo yigalei knaf aviv. You should know, he says, Am Yisrael, there's a parish of Arias. I'm not going to go over the whole thing. Just remember your father's wife, and you'll know everybody else. Now, it seems from the Yerushalmi that he's mentioning this over here specifically in order to link it to Lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem. Yet then, he shifts gears. In other words, he makes parenthetical remarks about lo yigalek knaf aviv and lo yavo p'tzua d'akot p'krus b'kal Hashem. So it's kind of strange that he begins the perek with, or the discussion with, lo yikach ish eshes aviv, that which is connected to mamzerus. Then he goes off on a tangent and says lo yigalek knaf aviv lo yavo p'tzua d'akot p'krus b'kal Hashem. You shouldn't have relations with your wife, your father's rape victim, nor should you allow the genital problem people into the Kal Hashem. And then it goes back to Mamzerus. So I don't know exactly how we determine what's a parenthetical remark and what's not. I really don't know. But in any event, the Gemara wants to ask, as a result of that, if Moshe Rabbeinu was reminding them, he's talking shorthand, so therefore, how do you know that if your brother rapes somebody, you can marry that woman? Or if your son rapes somebody, you can marry that woman. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was reminding them shorthand. He's saying, you should know that there's such a thing as your father's rape victim, which is also to you. And you'll know by extrapolation that all of the rape victims are also to you. Not just somebody your brother married, but somebody your brother raped. Says Marno. Eishasav was included in all the other arayas. V'yatzas mikol lamid al kol arayas l'mamzer. It comes in the short form, teaches all arayas l'mamzer. But that's only because we know that it harks us back to Vayikra, where all the arayas were listed. Isach meimor ha'ocha anusa b'chlau hoyas. Can you say that anusa was part of some body, a corpus of knowledge concerning rape victims? And now it's reminding us that all types of rape victims are forbidden. There's no such linkage. The reason why Eishes Tzav is a short form which reminds us about the other rites is because the other rites are real and they exist and they're enumerated in Vayikra. But there's no other place where rape victims are real and enumerated elsewhere. So therefore, this can't be serving as the short form to teach us that all rape victims are osur. It can't be, because this is the first time rape victims are discussed. Okay. Sazmar v'teitze Eishes Tzav Utulamed al anusoso. Let the Eishesov and anusoso, but obviously it's incorrect. Let Eishesov come and teach us about anusoso, which I guess may be the question which we asked him before, that there should be a mamzerus. In other words, forget about parenthetical remarks or parenthetical remarks. Let's link them together since they're in the same pasuk. He says, interesting logic to kind of compel the concept of parenthetical remark here, which is that anusa and eshesav are paradoxical. In other words, if somebody is Eshes' father's wife, so she's not a rape victim. If somebody is a rape victim, she's not the father's wife. So therefore, he's trying to say that you cannot, even though they're in the same posture, you cannot say, well, Eishesov is linked to Mamzer later on and tells all rights of Mamzerus. And Anusasov is linked to Eishesov, and therefore it also teaches us Mamzerus. No, because Anusasov and Eishesov are two paradoxical concepts. So even though they're in the same posture, the parameters cannot be the same. So therefore, Anusas Aviv has to be linked to Ptsuadak and Krushavcha, which do not cause Mamzerus. Okay, it's a very difficult sugya. I mean, Lamaisa clearly doesn't seem to be an Asmachta, because we're dealing with the Psukim themselves. But it's difficult how the Psukim work. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Now it gets easier. For a while. Aloha Beis. Anyway, in there, Rogan, these are people who are killed by sword. Harotseach. Somebody who murders, people of a city which worship over the Zara. Roteshi calls Reu, if a person smote his friend, Bain Be'evan, whether with stone, Bain Be'barzo, or with metal, the Kavashal of Tochamayim, or he poured water over his head until he died, or put him into a fire, Bain Yachalos Misham, he cannot get out of there, Umeisin, he died, Chayat. If you push him on the other end into water or into fire, he can't get out. He didn't come out. Then the guy died. Butter, then the person pushed him in his exempt because he should have gotten out. She's supposed to help if you sick a dog against somebody. She's supposed to know if you sick a snake against somebody. Butter, you are exempt because the snake, or even though you caused the death, but it's really the snake or the dog, which is called the actual doing the death. Heshuvah's knowledge, if you put a biting snake on his arm, then Rabbeinu Mechayev, Rabbeinu says you're liable, Chachoyim Pocher, Chachoyim, you say you're exempt. That's much more direct, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ksiv, it says, Vivim and Yad, Asher Yomus Bo Yiko. It says, if with a stone of a hand, meaning one which you hold in your hand, with which the person may die, you smite him, the Yomus, and he died, most yumas amakeh, then the smiter shall die. Rotzeach, who is a murderer. Most yumas rotzeach, he shall be put to death. Similarly, Obekhets, it says, if with a piece of wood held in hand, that shall yumas bo with which he will be killed, he kovam vayumas, you smote the guy and he died. Rotzeach, who is a murderer, most yumas rotzeach, the murderer shall be killed. Now here should be inserted the line two lines down from here. It says, has to be that the stone is large enough to kill, or the wood is large enough to kill. In other words, it has to be a weapon which under normal circumstances would kill this individual. Not something which was an aberration and should not really have killed him. So says the Gemara, how going back to where we were, when it says you kill with metal, doesn't say that it has to be metal which can kill, for which he should die. Nor metal with which he would not die. Because even a small needle can kill a person. You can stick it into his windpipe. His food pipe. And kill him. So therefore, metal kills no matter how small it is. wood or stone has to be of a shear where it would have logically have killed. But metal can kill no matter how small it is, so therefore we don't gauge it to find out if it was the right shear or not. Now, Kivno Kinegrasus, interesting, you put a person, this is not in the Bavli, the summit is, but not most, not all of it. Kinegrasus, you had a horse which was galloping, and you pushed this guy out in front of the horse, it's like pushing somebody in front of an oncoming train, right? Kivno Kinegrasus, you put him opposite an arrow which already been shot in the air. You put him opposite a spear which has been thrown. And Mita Batina put him in a place which is very cold, which is very big chiddush. Hishko, so Maimraim, or you give him bad waters to drink. Heavier, Satikra may love, you remove the roof from over his head. The yard of Lakshami and rain poured over him, Vargu, and they killed him. All these things, you're liable. Similarly, Pasak Amasa Maim, love, you open a dam on a canal over him. The water swept over and killed him, you're liable in all those cases. Okay? My time at the Rabbi Yehuda, why is the Rabbi Yehuda say by a snake, you're exempt even if you put the snake on him with its fangs extended. Rabbi Yehuda's one says you're liable. Why? Because the venom is already in the holes in the snake's fangs, and therefore, in essence, you're applying to him the murder tool. The venom is in the snake's fangs as you apply the snake to that individual.
So is this
garmi? Yeah, it's garmi. But, well, the thing is like this. It would be garmi if it's correct. It's a machlokas and metzias here. It's a machlokas in the actual reality, what it is. Matai with the Rabbanon, what a Rabbanon, lolam ein eres nosu ben akovim achi yachsu v'yoki. No, the snake doesn't have the venom in its fangs until it bites and then it regurgitates the venom into its fangs. So it's interesting, word karmi, like you put the guy in front of the galloping horse, or the snake, you put the guy in front of the venom itself, not in front of the fangs, but in front of the venom, then you'd definitely be liable. The shaila is if the venom is in the fangs, but it sounds there that in terms of murder, everybody's like Don Dean of the Garmi, even though you didn't do the actual Misa. So direct causation is like generates a death penalty. Okay. For Amakas Chaver, if you smote your friend Ben Be'evan top of Galal Gimel, whether with the stone Ben Be'grof or fist, from Dula Misa, and they reckon you're going to die. Hey Kevin Mashiach, then you got a little bit better. Then he got worse again and died. Chayef, then the smiter is liable to death penalty. Rabbi Chaim Poter, Rabbi Chaim exempts you shraglaim l'dover because there's an indication. So the Gemara immediately says the end of the Mishnah is messed up. Kini Matli, it's the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Chaim Poter, Rabbi Chaim says if you became a little bit better, the murder is off the hook. Chachamim, Mechayvin, Chachamim say no, the murder is still on the hook. It's evident to us that even though he got a little better in the middle, that was a smoke screen, really died because of the blow which you administered to him. Okay? Rabbanan army, now expanding on this, Rabbanan says, Shnei omdim rabin alom recha. Since initially we reckoned the guy was going to die. And in the end, he did die, which is like a second reckoning. The fact that in the middle there's a reckoning which indicated that he got a little bit better, that reckoning is drowned out by the other two. And on the contrary, Nechemim says the middle reckoning is a more accurate assessment of its true state because it's after he recovered somewhat from the blow and before complications set in. So that actually was Rav Al-Shneim, that overwhelms the other two, and that's the one which we go by. My type of Nechemim, where possibly this Nechemim derived this concept from, because it says, Im yakumi salech b'chutzal misham tov nika makeh. It says, if the person, the victim, got up and walked outside on his staff, then the perpetrator is cleansed. Would you actually contemplate that this guy, the victim, is walking in the marketplace, and you kill the guy who hit him if he survived? Attempted murder is not a capital crime. Ella, what it means to say is afilu meis, even if afterwards the guy died, it should be machmas makar rishonah because of the first blow, Patur is still exempt. That's what Basim means to me, Mechadish. That even if later on the guy did turn around and die, but since in the middle he was Holech Bachutza Mishanto, he was able to walk outside, so then, according to Rabbi Nechemia, we don't kill the murderer. Okay? Maita Rabbanan, Takut's good for. Where did Rabbanan learn that we do kill the murderer in that case? So it says, Amara, because it says Veloyamus, if he does not die, Venafalamishkov, but he falls into a bed. So then, that's the beginning of that pasuk, right? So it says if he doesn't die and he falls into bed. So why do we need both? Ela b'shalom d'lemisa. So rather it means to say if he doesn't die and doesn't fall into bed means the only time we'll let you off the hook is that if he never ever was reckoned to be to have been killed, you know, figuratively speaking. So therefore, in that case, since he didn't reckon he's going to die, that's where the murderer is off the hook. Says Gemara, wait a minute. Im b'shalom du is all still in Rabbanan. Im b'shalom du l'misa, if they never reckon he's going to die, v'dokzi, by that it says, im yakum b'shalom chutza mishanto v'nikom, okay? Then only if the guy gets up and walks on the staff, then the smiter is exempt. Ha'im lo kayam chayav. It sounds like if the guy doesn't get up, then the murderer is liable. How could the murderer be liable? Hi, they never made a reckoning that his blow was worthy of causing death. Ella, rather, what it must be talking about is like this. B'shamdu l'misa. It's talking about where they reckon that he's going to die. And then he got better. And then he got sick again. That in that case, we do kill the murderer, even though in the middle he was somewhat healed. So that's Machlokas Rabban Rabbi Nechemia. Says the Gemara, but again, according to Rabbi Nechemia, as long as he got healed in the middle for some time, there's no death penalty. According to Rabbanan, no, even though he got healed in the middle, since they reckon he was going to die to begin with, and he did die, so therefore, the murderer is put to death. Right? Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Ibisham Dul Misa, if we're talking about, like Rabbanan say, a case where the guy was initially judged to be on his way to death's door, right? So that's the case. How come it says that in that case you have to pay unemployment and doctor bills? You're paying unemployment and doctor bills for a dead man. How could there be such a thing? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yisrael Meshim Lokar says, now here we have amazing machlokas. Rabbi Yisrael Meshim Lokar says, Chidush Mikohu Sheyite. Oh yeah, it's a special clearance of custom. Even though what happens like this. Reuven hit Shimon. They took Shimon to the panel of doctors, basic panel, doctor said, Shimon's going to die. So normally we would say, Watkin Larabine. Well, Reuven doesn't have to pay anything because Shimon's going to die. So it's a special because the customer says, no. Based on something that says, go pay up. Since he didn't die on the spot, you have to pay anyway. Chidush mikro ushi. Unique situation, running against normal grand akilah and rav aminei.
But isn't normal
akilah
and rav aminei that it has to be that it's only akilah and rav aminei if it's at the same moment anyway?
So that it was the same moment.
The death wasn't. I mean, you're saying that which caused
the blow. Yeah. Okay. The blow caused the death. The blow caused the damage. You still have to pay. Normally, you say akilah and rav aminei on that. Okay, so it's a special chidush mikro here. That's what you say. Special clearance of kosher. So says the Gemara. Rabbi Avosher Meitzchanya said Omer. He says differently. He says no, it's a factual error. She told Saisa. They made a mistake. You think that when they reckon the guy's going to die, that he was talking going to die. He wasn't going to die. They made a mistake. Eruch Hanami. Had he for sure been on death's door, the Taka would have been killed Rabbanei, and there wouldn't have been a payment. But obviously, since he got so much better, we say that they made a mistake in their original estimation. Ma mafka bina, what's the difference between the positions here? Well, it's a chidush mikro, we say there was a mistake. So it says, my ekim ma'asha, a case where he became somewhat better. V'chaka chich bidu meis, and then he became worse again. Chayav. You're liable. Now, Rabbi Chayav Bodhishoglaidov is not necessary because he's not talking about Rechemia, so we're not going to focus on that. So it says liable. What does it mean liable? In other words, again, he got somewhat better. and then he got sick again and he died. Madam Achidish Mikro Shiite, he who says that it's a Chidish Mikro you have to pay. Nosan, Nosan. If you paid, you paid. And the way the Mecha Mayim puts in here, Lorosan Ite! Even though the guy died, he died! But and you know he's going to die because the original reckoning was for death. But since in the middle he got slightly better, you pay unemployment. Ripu Shevis Tzar Nezik Boshes. Okay? So it says Amara, Lonasan, Mao Sheitain. Now, the what about if he didn't pay yet, right? But at the time, so the time which the guy died. So the truth is, the Gemara here is really short. It's unwarrantedly short. It says here, Madam Ar Omichotosa Lonasan Enomiloshiite. If the guy, remember, if there was an omer of misa, then he got better, then he died. So the Gemara is saying, according to the opinion which has omer shel tosaya, the only time you pay is when it was a mistaken reckoning that the guy was going to die. Here, obviously the reckoning was correct, so you don't have to pay. But according to the Gemara, it's chidush mikro sheishalim, there's no, though it's not explicit Gemara, even though the guy died. Since the middle is the time when he got slightly better, and despite the fact that originally we thought he was going to die, and he did die. Nevertheless, it's time when he got better. So even if he didn't pay before the guy died, you still pay afterwards the yorshin. You pay the heirs. Because quite accumulated robin, they never kicks in a case where there was a slight improvement. Kin robin, they only kick in where it was completely downhill from the moment of the impact. But where there's a slightly improvement, so then in fact, you're actually going to have to pay. And again, that's my focus. So if you hold that the only time plays when you can say the original reckoning was a mistake, so then if he dies in the end, even though he got a little bit better in the middle, so then there should be no payment. But if you hold that it's an issue of Chirush Mikra, then even if he died in the end, then there would be a payment. Says Mara Nos and Maushito, now according to opinion which holds, well, Omichoto, so you should have to take, they should be allowed to take back that was paid. Says Mar Masisa Messiah Lede, Masisa Messiah Lede. We can bring a proof for each one. Okay? Now I'm gonna learn this like the Gil and Ephraim, who changed the gears somewhat in these cases. Masniasa Messiah Rabbi Yosef Rechina. The following bright says like Rabbi Yosef Rechina, the one who said that it was Oimichilto, so only a mistake. So according to him, you'd expect that you get it back, right? Amdulachai, they reckon he's going to live. Umeis, this is a quote from some Brysel. They reckon a guy's going to live and then he died. It should be ad emosai monim lo. Until when is there still possibility of paying for unemployment and stuff? It should be ad sheyachbid. Until he gets sicker. Okay? Hadamras teaches us, Omichilto Soisa, that only if we can say legitimately that the reckoning is correct and that he was going to survive and that he did survive, then there's payment. But if he went downhill subsequently and you had not paid yet, then you don't have to pay. Because that means that which you thought he was going to survive was a mistake. Because he didn't survive, he went downhill. Omichotos works both ways. It all depends on which, what ultimately results, whether you're going to have to pay or not. Okay? V'item achidush mikro shiitein. If on the other hand you hold that it's a chidush mikro, so then, instead of v'item mishor v'shon, it should say here, ha'yisi noisin ad shoshi yomus. No, until the very time that he dies, I should have to pay. Why should I have to pay? Because, it doesn't matter. It's a chiddush mikra that you pay. And the truth is, even after death, you might have to pay according to the previous Gemara. But certainly until the point of death, you definitely have to pay. It's not just when he starts going downhill that you stop paying. No, you continue. I mean, you don't stop paying when he starts going downhill. You still pay until the point of death because of chiddush mikra. Okay? Hodam Ras teaches us the fact that it says here that once he starts going downhill, you don't pay any longer. I went back a line, sorry. Masisa Messiah Rabbi Shimon Lokesh. Now, it's a Brisa, which is sister of Shimon Lokesh, who says that it's a Chidush Mikra. How so? What's this Brisa? Say, Amdul Misa. They assume he's going to die. The Choya. and he survived nevertheless. May Masai Chubi, May Masai Noist Nimlo. From when do we start paying him? So says the Gemara here, it should instead of be Mishiach, it should say Mishosh Yaakov, from the time he starts getting better. Even though eventually he's going to die. Or despite the fact that so far they reckon he's going to die, and he may well yet die, but nevertheless, since right now he's been getting better, you got to pay. Why? Because the Chirish Mikra. Okay? Now, the Gilin Ephraim throws in here, Hadam has teach us Chirish Mikra Shehite. So Chirish Mikra, you pay. If you're going to say it's a mistake, in other words, you go by mistake, that either you give retroactively because he got better, not just from the time when he started getting better, but retroactively, or if he died in the end, you wouldn't give it all. But there's no, it would have nothing to do with whether he started getting better or not. It would have to do with what ultimately resulted, correlated to what happened in the beginning. Okay? It's a little bit of a mess what the Shark Gilead Ephraim throws in, but that's what he throws in. Rabbi Yezir said, Leiskan, we don't talk about here, Mishe Yokil. Okay? It says in Mishiach, but it should be Mishe Yokil. Ela Misha Rishon. He says, Enochanami. Now, Rabbi Yossi Paka learns, or I assume this is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, that since Oimachal told Soya, so Taka, even then he's gonna die, right? Since he didn't die, he started getting better. So Taka, the chiv of payment is retroactive from the point of impact. Now, believe me, I don't know what the nafkamina is. Since he didn't pay, what is the difference it made? He went back to Shor Shoina. Now I know. You know what it is? We got be Shibud. This is be Shibud. In other words, that'll be the nafkamina. Nafkamina is, from when does a lien attach to the property that if you sold off the property, the buyers are going to have to give it back? If you hold it, it's a chidush mikra. So the chidush mikra only kicks in once he starts getting better from that point in time. And anything which was sold beforehand is not under lien. If you hold it was omachil toes, though, so then it all kicks in from the beginning. And from there, the chi of the obligation attaches to the property. Okay, very good. Says the Gemara. Now, here, this whole Adar Marah, the Gilin Ephraim just takes out because he twisted around and put it two lines previously. Okay, now, a new issue. He called Yoda. Okay, so I'm skipping two lines. He called Yoda Vitzavas. He hit a guy in his hand, and the hand goes bad. Now, I'm going to ask you, the doctors say, fascinating thing. In Mikdal Yodei, if you cut off the guy's hand, Chai will survive. If you don't cut it off, so he has gangrene, he's going to die. So what do I have to pay for it or not? Mao sheyitein d'me'ah, do I pay for his hand or not? In other words, if he's going to die, I don't have to pay anything, right? But now that he didn't die, you know, do I have to pay for his hand in order to keep him alive? Okay, but I say no, let him die. They don't have to pay anything. So says my shmini minado. Let's hear from here. It says, there's two episodes in Parshas Mishpatim. Both are about people who are fighting with each other. One is Kina Tsunashim when they fight each other, and Mechirvunashim is when they fight each other. So the thing is like this. Korban Eda says, in the Parsh of Kirvun, two people fighting with each other, it says, Ripui and Shevis. It talks about doctor bills and unemployment. And that's only about where the two people intended to hit each other and do things to each other. In the parish of Kinatsu, it's only about where there's a third party who's damaged, who unintentionally is damaged, a woman who's pregnant is damaged there. And then it talks about Nezegatzar, damage and anguish. And that's only about where you didn't intend to hit that third party. Okay? So why is it broken up? Why is it broken up into two separate parishes? One is about where there was an intentional fight. Well, they're both intentional fights, but one where the damage is inflicted intentionally, or in one where it's talking about corollary damage, which is unintentional. So, Marivah, he Matsus. In final analysis, Mariva and Matsus can be the same thing in Hebrew. Matama Kinatsu, Kirvun, Kirvun Kinatsu. Why break it up in two? So it says, Elitana Miskavish, and Miskavish. It means to say, this halacha, when it's intentional damage, devolves on the halacha of unintentional damage. And the laws of unintentional damage fall on intentional damage. Okay? So that means that Nezek and Tsar which I mentioned, the corollary damage, apply to intentional damage. And reprint shevets, which are applied by intentional damage, they apply to corollary damage as well. So it says, I understand that whenever you're liable, if it's intentional, you're still liable when it's unintentional. Why is that? Because if it's intentional, you intended to kill the guy. Truth is, you intended to kill the guy. You're liable, nevertheless, if you didn't kill him for replaying Travis. So, lachas kamakam, you don't intend to kill because it's corollary damage, you're certainly liable for payments, right? That makes sense. So, coming, tell us that whatever payments we required on miskavin are required on shayna miskavin. Shayna miskavin on miskavin, but the payments that, which you're liable, if it was corollary damage, that you're liable if you intend the damage. So it says, "Marim b'sheinu miskavinu mischayev kolo koshkenam miskavin." No, it's the opposite of what I just said before. I made a mistake. It says, "Forget about the killing issue for the moment." He says, "Nicho etzam miskavin shem miskavin." A person who is intense cause damage is more liable than a person who causes corollary damage. Right? I mentioned about the killing is a mistake. It says a person who intends to cause damage is certainly more liable than a person who causes corollary damage. So therefore it makes sense to say whatever guy who intends to cause damage is liable is a case of corollary damage is liable as well. Right? No. It's a chiddush that you're liable even if she ain't a miskave. The question is, if she ain't a miskave, one second, now I'm confused. Nichos ha-miskavin al she'eno miskavin. So what does that mean? Oh, okay, like this. Say, the fact that the Pesukim link the two is necessary to tell us that whatever a person who intends the damage pays, even a person who doesn't intend the damage must pay as well. Because I would think he's less than liable. A guy who causes corollary damage, I would think, is less liable. So therefore, the Pesukim have to be intertwined to teach us that whatever a guy pays if he intends, he pays unintentionally as well. However, v'she'enu miskaven miskaven, that which a guy who damages unintentionally pays, it doesn't tell us that a guy who damages intentionally pays it. That's obvious. If she'enu miskaven miskaven, in the case of corollary damage is liable, lo koshkei miskaven is not certainly liable on a case where he definitely has in mind the damage. So those payments definitely apply. So what is that coming to tell us? That the she'enu miskavin, what's it coming to tell us? So it says, Mark, turning the page, it's poshut, based on our previous corner. Elikini, this is going to tell us.
It's nicha that we have to use the poshut, we have a poshut to tell us.
Right, right. Elikini, this is what it's going to tell us. He called yodo, our case, you hit a guy in his hand. It's of us. And it got shriveled, whatever. Amra said, the doctor said, imekata yodo, chayu. If you cut off the hand, it'll survive. On that, take out the word ma'oshar, this so takes out, sheyitin me'ayad. He has to pay the value of the hand. In other words, even though he's an eno miskavin, he didn't have in mind to hurt the hand, he had in mind to kill him. But nevertheless, he has to pay. That's what going to tell us. That even though you didn't have kavana to hurt the hand, you had in mind to kill him, right? No, that's not it. Not you had in mind to kill him. Even though you didn't have in mind to hurt the hand. Well, I'm not sure what you had in mind to do. I don't know exactly what you had in mind to do. I'm not sure if it's relevant. What it's going to say is that even though this is not the damage you intended, since it's necessary to do this in order... Yeah, okay, this is a shot. Even though you didn't have in mind to have his hand amputated, right? That wasn't your intent. And the truth is it's not necessary to amputate his hand. He might die if you don't amputate his hand. But you didn't actually damage his hand in a way which requires the amputation. So therefore I might say you're not liable in this payment. Because you're ain't a miskavin that they should cut off his hand. That's going to tell us that you're nevertheless you're liable in this case. Now it's just like you're liable in the case of miskavin, you're liable in the case of ain't a miskavin. For corollary damage you pay the same like you pay for intentional damage. That's what it means to tell us. Okay. So it's still a little bit messy, but that's the idea. Okay. Says Gemara, Kmadat Mar Taman. Just like you said over there, Chiddush Mikro Shigitein. It's a Chiddush that you pay, even though there was an Aymed Lemisa, we said in Amrav. Vika, here, take out the word the Me'ayat. because that was said by Rambam Alef, it was Chiddush Mikra, that he pays Shevis and Ripui and all that. The Kach Chiddush Mikra Shite the Me'ayad. Here it's a Chiddush Mikra, this is the Gemara continuing. Here it's a Chiddush Mikra that you pay the value of the hand. In other words, even though that wasn't your intent, nevertheless, you pay for the value of the hand. So this is finishing up the answer. You pay for the hand, even though, you know, as far as you're concerned, let them not take off the hand. He'll die, but you didn't damage the hand. No, you have to pay nevertheless. Rabbi Yitzchak Shaul, Rabbi Yitzchak asked, Amdu l'chaim, they reckon a guy is going to live. Umeis, yet he died. Is there a payment of Shevis and Ripui? Now, I don't know if Rabbi Yitzchak saw the previous Gemara, the whole discussion of Chiddush Mikra and Omid Shel Tos. It sounds like he didn't see it. It sounds like it's a separate discussion. So he had regular this guy that's going to live, and then he died. So they have to pay Shevis and Ripui to his heirs nevertheless. So Gemara, it should be the good franchise that Vei Derech HaChaim Lamus. Don't people die? In other words, since one, he doesn't hold to Omid Shel Tos. He holds the Omid is valid. Since they were Amdu L'chaim, so therefore you have to pay him. If he dies, you have to pay the heirs. How he died? He died for some extraneous reason, right? We came to see Rakshi, Toyi Tamra, Poyra, pay Chai Lito Shevis Aripui. So Xeris Akosin, you have to pay nevertheless. And vice versa as well, it's Luchumra in both directions. Yitzchak Shor, Yitzchak asked, Amdu L'miso. They reckon he's going to die. V'choya, he survived. You have to pay Shevis Aripui. So here too he says again, that sometimes people are supposed to die, they survive. So he doesn't pay attention to the Oymed here. He came and they'll see, in other words, here it's Luchum in the other direction. Where the Oymed was L'chaim, even though he died, we make him pay. And here, where he survived, even though the Oymed was L'misa, we make him pay as well. Why is that? Special clearance cause the same thing. We came to see Rakshiv Toh Yitim Rapoy, Rapay Chayab Yitim L'Shevis Ripoy. The rock, Shifto Yitain, the rock trumps any other logic. So he doesn't go with the whole thing of Omid Shel Tos, Chiddush Mikra. Lamaisa just says, you have to pay in any event, no matter what the circumstances are. As long as there was some life, either temporary or permanent, so there has to pay a payment of Shevis and Ripu. Okay? Halachadam. This guy, when I was being a man, he had to kill an animal. Baragasam, he killed a human being. Lachab, he had to kill a goy. Baragasam, he killed a Jew. Then if I had a mind to kill stillborns, where I was my uncle, you killed a viable child. Part your exam. This guy on the coast of Mosul, if you had a mind to hit somebody in his hips, the lawyer don't wouldn't have killed him on his hips. For Ocho Oliva went in his heart, for Ocho Bokdele Mitzvah Oliva had enough velocity to kill his heart. The mace and the guy died. Part your exam because he didn't have a mind to hit him that way. This guy on the coast of Oliva had a mind to hit him on his heart, for Ocho Bokdele Mitzvah Oliva. It had enough to hit him to kill him on his heart. But it went on his hips instead. And should not have killed him on the hips. Who made it nevertheless? He died. Potter, your exempt because that wasn't, even though it's attempted murder, but it was botched up to attempted murder. You're a klutz. You killed him, but you killed him in the wrong way. That's good for you because you get off the hook. Okay? Niskavin so we had a mind to hit a large person. Would not have killed a large person. Went on a small person. And had enough velocity to kill a small person. Who Macy died, Potter, your slow clamp. Because that wasn't your intention. Niskavin Lakosakot, he had a mind to kill a cotton. Had enough velocity to kill a cotton. Vogelakot went on an adult. Of a lawyer, Bakhtayam, he said, God shouldn't have been able to kill an adult or mace, but he died anyway. Potter, you are exempt. Because, again, there wasn't in mind to kill that way, that person. But he had in mind to kid somebody on his hips. And it could have killed on his hips. And it went on his heart, or mace, and he died. In that case, you're liable. If he had in mind to hit an adult, he could have killed the adult. Vachalakot went on a child to mace and the child died. Chayev, you're liable as well. Rabbi Shimon argues on this. He says, I feel in Skavin Laragazev Horakazev. Even if you had in mind and you had the capacity to kill one and killed another instead, Potter, you are exempt. Okay? So Rabbi Shimon's famous Shita, which we passed him, by the way. He had in mind to kill some Reuven and said he killed Shimon, even though it had enough velocity to kill both Reuven and Shimon. Since it wasn't your intention, you're off the hook. Okay? Now, Chizkiah, according to Shai Tisol, this is Omar. Now the Mecha Mayim learns differently, but I'm going to learn like the Shai Tisol. Chizkiah Omar Zarkas Evan.
He threw a stone, he had enough velocity to kill. Hemi says that it killed the guy. Vishiva's killed says that, and at the same time broke somebody else's kelim. The case in the Bavli, Zara chetz v'kar shirayim belichosa. You shot an arrow, and while it was going, it ripped somebody else's clothing. Okay, so in this case, it says instead of zechidish b'zel kochidish shartiso goris potter. This case it says kilim rabmane. Okay, chizki shoyel. He asks a question like this. Zorak seven. He asked through a stone. V'loya b'kdem. He said it was not strong enough to kill. Hamis say he had it killed. Rishiva is kibush to say, and at the same time it broke somebody else's vessels. Bezeh chidish akosu, bezeh lo chidish. It's possible that killing Rami is a chidish of the pasuk in the first case, when you were involved in the act of killing and it was going to kill. But in this case, perhaps you are chayev to pay, because your act of killing here was not an intentional and liable act, because you didn't, even though you did kill. Because this stone was not strong enough in order to kill, so maybe you're liable on the clothing. It's interesting what the who says there, the Shelas David, Rav David Karliner. I don't know if he says, you know what, but Yerushalmi, it's interesting, the Yerushalmi's question. He says, it only asks when I threw a rock, which is not strong enough to kill, it killed Reuven, at the same time ripped Shimon's clothing. So it's a Shaila, maybe you're chayav on Shimon's clothing. But the Yerushalmi's question, even in this case, where it wasn't strong enough to kill Reuven and killed him, nevertheless, they put on Reuven's clothing. Right. It's on Shimon's clothing. Okay? So, which is, I'm not sure exactly what the difference should be, but that's what he wants to say, which is Yushalmi's question, only on the other guy's clothing and on his own clothing. Okay? Says Gemara, here it says, Amr Rabbi Shimon, the Shaita Yisrael changes and makes it a header for a Mishnah. He had a mic Reuven still killed and said, Shimon, you're exempt. And that, Elon the Bay Rebbe, Tanya, those that also Rebbe learned, I feel this guy be out of mind, it should be, instead of Aragazev or Aragazev, should be Echad Mayhem. He had a mic to kill one of them, Potter. What does it mean? Vasa the Bay Rebbe, the Bay Rebbe, what the house Rebbe said, it goes like Rebbe Nosson said. What Rabbi Nosson say? The Tani B'Shem Rabbi Nosson. You're standing next to a group of people, all Jews. Said, I have might kill one of you, and you shot into the crowd. He's Potter, right? Even though he shot into the crowd. And that's even, I feel this guy in my rogue is ever as a potter. So the soul changed that the veins of Chlamana goes out saying that he's guy in my rogue is ever as a potter. But if you had in mind to kill one of a group, you're potter. Even though you had in mind to kill one of them, since you didn't actually have select the one and intend for that one. And of course, if you had in mind to kill Reuven instead of kill Shimon, you're definitely potter in that case. Okay? Let's get thumbed off. A murderer got mixed up with other individuals, including their all exempt. You have them off the hook. He put them into the prison and he starved them to death. You know, that whole business to do with the kippah. You know, you eat, feed them barley till their stomach bursts. Any people's chai mitzvah got mixed up with each other. You'll do the makal, they get the lighter death. And it's called Misrafim, people supposed to be stoned, people supposed to be burned. They get stoning. Because he holds that burning is more severe. No, you get burning. Because they hold stoning is more severe, you give them the lighter one. Shimon said, we have this previous in the Masechta, were burning, not more severe. You wouldn't have given it to the daughter of a Kohen who's Mizana. Must be a very strong punishment. Armelah, they said the opposite. Eloise, Skila, Chamura, were Skila not more severe. Lo, Nidal, and Megadif would not be given to blasphemers, although the Kochavim and to idolaters. So that must be more severe. People were supposed to be killed by sword or got mixed up. People were supposed to be killed by suffocation. Rabbi Shimon says, sword is lighter, you kill them all by sword. Chachomim say, Bechenek, suffocation is lighter, you kill them all by suffocation. Armelah, Rabbi Yochanan said, our mission says we kill them all by putting them into the dome. Is a rotzeach got mixed up with all sorts of kosher people? That's their bad luck.
Someone doesn't like this. And the Ephraim, most of the Achronim, says to throw in a line here. They say, Ibro tzash yisai b'ksherim ibhi mastis of our mission story about a murderer got mixed up with kosher people. B'dotin and kosi yosol kibah. Does that mean that you put them into this dome and give them the stomach bursting treatment? Doesn't make any sense. How can you possibly do it? So Rabbi Yochum must admit that we put them under lock and key until we understand what's going on, I guess. But the murder just goes on. No, everybody here is a murderer. A murderer where the judgment was not yet pronounced. The Sarabat says, Nigmadina, he got mixed into murder, the judgment was pronounced. That's where he put him into the dome and give them the stomach bursting treatment. Shmuel man, now, b'shvarim, let's see, so I'm going to talk about an ox among oxen. A whole bunch of oxen who killed. I mean, an ox who killed, which got mixed into other oxen. So then, we make sure all the oxen die. Right? Even the kosher oxen. It's interesting that I saw that the place he discussed, I guess, this issue of rov and bittul barov, which replied oxen, but we're not going to get into it right now. Says more, no, I don't like that either. Even Sharbish Varim, he must eat some adult eating because of some keeper. What do you have to dafka put him into a keeper? Well, what's the point? Either kill him outright or maybe not dig Mardina, maybe you can slaughter them and eat them. Why keeper? Why dafka this stomach bursting treatment? We don't like that. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chamuris, Reifa Miskila. Now, the truth is that, I think quite the good Ephraim would take it out of here. Sorry, you know, I missed that. According to the Ephraim, that line, Imashor Shvarim, Mesizim, Dotina, Kotzina, Sol, Kippa, that line is deleted. Rather, we took that line and turned it into Imrotzer Shisar, B'ksherim, Imasizim, Dotina, Kotzina, Kippa. We cut that line out and pasted it as the question Rabbi Yochanan on top. But Yechami could be that our Gemara is talking about an ox among oxen, and since we can't kill them, we put them into the dome. Rav Shimon Chamuris Reifim Miskilo Shimon says burning is more severe than stoning. Rabbanan Min Chamuris Kilo Misreifa. Rabbanan say stone is more severe than burning. Rav Shimon Chamur Chenek Miharik Shimon says suffocation is more severe than sword. Rabbanan Amrin, the rabbis say Chamur Harik Miharik, that sword is more severe than suffocation. There must have been once upon a time something else in the Gemara, but it's not here anymore. Any explanation? It's just a simple statement. I will stop here for this evening.